Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Let me be the first to wish you a wonderful October and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Today's show looks back at the last weekend of sports, highlighted by some international competition taking place in Europe. First off, let's take a look at what happened with the Ryder Cup, which, as you know, matches Europe's best golfers against America's best golfers and switches back and forth every couple years between matches in the U.S. and matches in Europe. This year's tournament took place in Paris. And after a fast start, which we talked about on Friday, the American team struggled, losing all of the Friday afternoon matches and heading into the weekend trailing the Europeans 5-3. The Europeans rode that momentum, led by British Open champion Francesco Molinari. Molinari capped an outstanding season with a great weekend in Paris, and ultimately the Europeans prevailed 17.5 points to 10.5 points. Alex Noren, who we mentioned on Friday, completed Sunday's action in style with a 40-foot putt to win his match over Bryson DeChambeau. The Europeans won the singles part of the tournament on Sunday, 7.5 to 4.5. European captain Thomas Bjorn was proud of his men.
Today's performance, there was a little moment there in the middle of it all where I was getting a little bit worried, but then everybody stood up and did their bit, and you know, I can't describe how I feel about these 12. They've been amazing from day one, and I'm just so proud of them.
The great camaraderie we have, you know, that's built up on the European Tour, and obviously we all have our separate lives going on. But once we get together for the Ryder Cup, we all come together as one, and you know, it was just such a good week.
This is the best team room I've ever been in. You know, it was calm, it was determined, it was focused, it was fun. Everything that this Ryder Cup was is what I think the Ryder Cup should be about for a European team.
That's European captain Thomas Bjorn and his players reacting to their win at the Ryder Cup over the weekend. For the USA, captain Jim Furyk and player Phil Mickelson said the Americans have to be better when they're playing in Europe. They have not won the cup overseas since the 1990s.
My hat's off to what they accomplished this week. Thomas did a great job as captain. The players, they responded, and they played some great golf this week. I'll take my cap off. Thomas was a better captain, and their team outplayed us. And there's nothing else more you can say. They deserve to win. They played well.
You know, there have been 2 years, this year and 2006 with Tom Lehman, where it breaks my heart a little bit more than others, because those 2 years we didn't execute while we were given every opportunity to succeed.
Obviously, it leaves a sour taste in our mouth to come over here now for 27 years and not be able to win on foreign soil. That's the goal. We want to be successful in this event. We want to grow. We want to get better. But we have to do it here in Europe, and that'll be the goal in 4 years from now.
That's USA captain Jim Furyk and veteran player Phil Mickelson talking about the USA's loss to Europe in the Ryder Cup over the weekend. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now by Samson Omale with this report on African sports news, including some soccer updates, and he'll tip off our coverage of the FIBA Women's World Cup basketball tournament, which wrapped up in Tenerife, Spain on Sunday. Welcome, Samson.
We begin with preparations ahead of the 2019 CAF African Cup of Nations, where the Confederation of African Football, CAF, says it will give the final decision over Cameroon as host of the 2019 Total African Cup of Nations AFCON in November 2018. The CAF Executive Committee meeting held this past weekend in Egypt reached a decision that the final decision will be taken after the last inspection vision programmed in November. In the meantime, the Confederation of African Football President Ahmed Ahmed on Sunday said CAF will support FIFA President Gianni Infantino in his re-election bid next year. CAF officially endorsed the candidacy of Infantino at its Congress in Egypt on Sunday, but an official endorsement has previously proven no guarantee of votes, with many African associations breaking ranks in past elections. Murtada Mansour, chairman of Egyptian giants Zamalek, has been banned from all football-related activity for a year by the Confederation of African Football, CAF, following comments he made about leading CAF officials. African football's governing body issued the punishment after Mansour was seen in a video allegedly insulting CAF President Ahmed Ahmed and General Secretary Amir Fahmy. 66-year-old Mansour has also been issued with a fine of $40,000. Gor Mahia were on Sunday crowned the 2018 Kenya Premier League champions for the fourth time in 5 years and their record 17th title after their match against Mathare United at the Moi Stadium in Kisumu. Prior to the coronation, the defending champions were held to a 2-2 draw by hard-fighting Mathare United at the same venue in the penultimate match of the 2018 season. Dylan Kerr is head coach of Gor Mahia.
The game ended poorly for us, and fair play to Mathare. They came and gave it a go, but, you know, today's about the fans, you know, so I just want the fans to enjoy it. I want them to recognise the players and the hard work, because it's been hard work what we've done this year.
In basketball news, Nigeria women basketball team, the Tigress, lost 73-72 to Canada as they finished 8th in the last classification playoff game of the 2018 FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup played on Sunday to determine the sides who finished 5th to 8th after their quarterfinal knockout to the United States of America. Despite the loss, Coach Otis Hugley believes that the girls have the potentials to be world champions.
I guarantee you, we may not shoot the ball as well. If we did, then no one would beat us. But it takes a lot of intelligence to beat a team and never make a jump shot. And people from our hemisphere and our country of Nigeria and the continent of Africa are the most intelligent people on the face of the earth.
And that's it. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. As you may know, the United States defended its championship in Spain, winning its third straight World Cup title. The team was led by young superstar Brianna Stewart and towering Brittany Griner in the championship victory over Australia. The Americans won 73-56. Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, some of the best American players ever, haven't lost a World Cup game in 12 years. Bird has 4 gold medals in the World Cup in her career to go along with the bronze, and the win gave the USA 10 World Cup gold medals overall. Griner scored 15 points and helped hold Australia's star, Liz Cambage, to just 7 points. She had been averaging 27 points per game in the tournament. The Americans scored the first 9 points of the third quarter to bump a 35-27 halftime lead up to 44-27. The 17-point margin turned out to be the final margin of victory.
Today was one of those games where, like Don said, the first 5 games we were trying to find things. We were trying to find that hot start. We were trying to find, you know, that defensive consistency. And in this game, it kind of all came together. And, you know, this is what these tournaments are about. It's how do you get better game by game? We don't have the preparation. So how can we maximize every video session, every shoot around? And I think the culmination was a great game against a really good team that, you know, dominated pretty much the whole tournament. And, you know, that's a credit to everyone and staying together, really, and going all in the same direction.
That's American player Diana Taurasi on the American team's preparations leading into the World Cup tournament. Team USA manager Dawn Staley thanked the organizers and the fans for contributing to a great tournament. She also thanked her players for coming together so quickly, even though the team didn't have much time to prepare.
I hope that everybody that paid admission got their money's worth, because there was some great basketball played by all teams. Fortunately for us, you know, we sit here as gold medalists, and a lot of reasons why we do that is because of the players who make a commitment to come year in and year out that allow us to win. But, you know, we can't do it without them. We can't do it without their commitment. You know, but as me as a coach and our coaching staff, we just got out of their way. You know, you got to let players do what they do best and not get in the way, and that's what we did.
Taurasi said it was a tough tournament to win, considering the teams had to play 3 days in a row in order to win the championship.
It's a tough tournament. We always talk about it, the World Championship, now the World Cup. It's always the hardest one to win. It's a grind. It's physically tough. It's mentally tough. When you talk about playing 3 games in 3 nights, you just don't do that anymore as a pro. And this is the only tournament that challenges you in that way. And I think, like Dawn said, we always rely on our depth. We always rely on each other. We always talk about being 12 strong, next man up. And I think today was another look at how we approach these tournaments, where, you know, a team like Australia had to put so much into playing last night, where, you know, we spread it around, like Stewie said.
That's Diana Taurasi and Coach Dawn Staley talking about the USA women's basketball team's third straight FIBA World Cup title, which they won against Australia on Sunday. Thanks to USA Women's Basketball for providing the audio. As Samson mentioned earlier, the Nigerian team advanced to the quarterfinals for the first time and nearly finished 7th overall, but lost in the 7th and 8th place game to Canada by 1 point. We're joined now by Iron Mike Mbonye, who caught up with Nigeria's press officer, Afolabi Oni, who said Nigerian women did more than what was expected.
We have really exceeded what we came here to do, as a team and also as a nation. So overall, I think we as a team, we as a country, we as a people have really exceeded our expectation at this World Cup. Out of 16 teams coming out to qualify for the quarterfinals last 8, I think it's a big leap for the Tigers.
Any lessons for Team Nigeria from this World Cup?
Of course. You know, we've learned that hard work pays. The era of fire brigade approach, preparing 2 weeks, using 2 weeks to prepare for a major championship, we know that can never work. When you consider what the Nigerian Basketball Federation under its president, Engineer Musa Kida, has done to ensure that the team adequately prepared from Atlanta to Lagos to Istanbul just to get ready on time for the World Cup. So all these things were contributed directly to the performance of the team. So going forward, Nigerians have learned that early preparation pays. A good leadership, we also get you the result anytime you are going out for a major championship. And also, we also need to learn from the experience. We also need to beef up our team so that we can get better for future championships.
We understand that some Nigerian basketballers played for the U.S., played for Greece, and then one also played for Australia. Do you have plans as a federation to scout for some of these Nigerians living abroad to come and join the female national team?
This has been going on not just now. There were some that were meant to be part of this movement, this World Cup movement in Tenerife, but you know, some couldn't get their paperwork done on time. Why some were skeptical of, okay, just jumping on a new project that will seem not to be heading somewhere, but along with the success recorded already at the World Cup, a lot of them are now ready to also come back home and represent their father or their motherland. So going forward, like I said, many of them will come back home to come and play for Nigeria. Many of them, they've been contacted. Some of them have indicated their interest to play for Nigeria. Why some are saying, okay, let's see what the future holds. But at the end of the day, Nigerian basketball, we we'd be the better for it.
What is the mood of the players, the girls? What is their mood having taken part in this World Cup? What is it like to them?
The apex level that you can ever strive for is to participate at the World Cup, be it football, be it basketball. So for the 12 that were chosen, the 12 players that were deemed worthy to represent over 160 million Nigerians, it's not by any way a mean achievement. It's something that they will cherish for the rest of their lives, something that will go a long way in boosting their CV. And, you know, some of them are young. Some of them will still see them for a very long time to come, while some are taking the bout. Someone like Aisha Mohamed, who participated at the 2006 World Cup. So for all the players, it's a memory that they will cherish for the rest of their lives.
That's Iron Mike Mbonye, who caught up with Nigeria's press officer Afolabi Oni to review the results of Nigeria's team at the FIBA Women's World Cup. Moving on to the big weekend of professional soccer in Europe, we're joined by Prince Nesta for this review. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. It was another interesting weekend of European League football action, and we kickstart off our roundup at the Emirates Stadium, where two late goals were enough to give Arsenal a fifth consecutive Premier League win as they saw off a spirited Watford side. The Gunners survived a number of scares and an injury to goalkeeper Peter Cech before Nigerian international Alex Iwobi's 63rd-minute introduction worked a treat as he provided the assist for Craig Cathcart's own goal and also had a hand in the slick move that led to the second goal scored by Mesut Ozil. Arsenal moved fifth in the table behind fourth-place North London rivals Tottenham on goal difference. Harry Kane scored a double for Tottenham and piled misery on Huddersfield, who remain winless and rooted at the bottom of the table. Chelsea and Liverpool also maintained their unbeaten starts to the Premier League season with a 1-1 draw at Stamford Bridge. Eden Hazard's 25th-minute strike had threatened to be his second match winner of the week against Liverpool, but Daniel Sturridge curled a magnificent shot into the top corner from 25 yards to rescue a point for the Reds in the 89th minute. Raheem Sterling and Sergio Aguero are on the score sheet in each half at the Etihad Stadium as league leaders Manchester City cruised past Brighton 2-0 to maintain their unbeaten start.
Prince, how about Manchester United? Should Jose Mourinho fear for his future at Old Trafford?
I think so, because it seems like there's some growing signs of discord at Manchester United, which keeps on unfolding every day like a soap opera. Manchester United lost 3-1 during the weekend. This is actually a very rare loss for Manchester United at West Ham. And this simply means that United have taken 10 points from the first 7 games of the season, and it's their worst league start in 29 years. They're also going through other issues, such as Alexis Sanchez was excluded from the Manchester United team that travelled to London. Mourinho's relationship with French World Cup winner Paul Pogba hasn't also been at its best. There was a tense exchange between the two that was captured by cameras at the United's training ground last week, and it just feels like he's already lost the dressing room. Right now, my advice to him is that the environment is toxic. He should move out before it gets even worse. Plus, there have been reports here and there that probably Zinedine Zidane is preparing to move to United, but only time will tell. In other news, Ivorian international Wilfred Zaha will be hoping to continue with his good run of form as his side faces Bournemouth later today in another English Premier League clash. The 25-year-old midfielder has scored 3 of Crystal Palace's 4 league goals this season. Dan, one interesting statistic is that Bournemouth have never won a Premier League game that they've played on a Monday. But the good news for them is that they are unbeaten in their last 4 Premier League home games, of which they have won 3 and drew 1.
Wow, Prince, that is an interesting statistic. Moving on to the French League, did we have another stellar performance from African players this time around?
Oh, absolutely. Neymar grabbed a double, while French midfielder Christophe Nkunku, who's of DR Congolese descent, added another as league leaders Paris Saint-Germain won 3-0 away at Nice. Tunisian international forward Wahbi Zahri scored twice as Saint-Etienne beat struggling Monaco 2-0 to move into fourth place in the French league. Monaco, the French champions in 2017, remains mired in the 18th position as the pressure increases on coach Leonardo Jardim to resign. French footballer Jonathan Bamba, who's of Ivorian descent, hit a second-half penalty and struck at the death as Lille stunned Marseille 3-0 to move up to second. Olympique Lyon also missed the chance to move up to second place after earning a 1-1 draw against Nantes.
Thanks for that report, Prince. Great to get the roundup of Nesta Nuggets from you each week. And in keeping with European soccer, my colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with this report on a European player whose name was on the tip of everyone's tongue this past July. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Luka Modric, this year's newly minted FIFA Player of the Year, says he's still recovering from an emotional and physically draining World Cup campaign. At last week's FIFA awards ceremony, the Croatian midfielder admitted he would give back every trophy to have brought home the Russia World Cup title. But he later said Croatia had much to celebrate after their second place finish. He said his team was so eager to achieve something great at the World Cup, their emotions nearly overwhelmed them.
There is so many parts that we will remember forever. But when we arrived in Croatia and we saw all these people, we were more than surprised. We from airport until main square, we drove on the open bus like for 7 hours, and we didn't even feel it. We thought we were there like half an hour. It was so emotional to share all these joys with your people, and it showed us how big result we achieve in this World Cup, and we are very proud of that we bring happiness to our people and, of course, happiness to us.
Modric was given the FIFA Golden Ball Award as best player of the 2018 World Cup. But 3 weeks after the tournament ended, Modric was back in action for Real Madrid in preseason friendlies. Modric has already been featured in all competitions for Madrid in this season's La Liga campaign. And he admitted that between celebrating the World Cup final and having less than a month off before returning to the field has him feeling a bit burned out.
First week, I had only 3 weeks of, let's say, holidays. I think that was the less since I'm playing football. First week, we spent in celebration. first day in Zagreb, after in everyone in our cities. And was not easy to start again. After all these emotional moments, you were like drained completely, and I needed time to get back to my better level. Now each day I feel better and better, and I just need now more games to get back to my best. But it was not easy because of we were so eager to achieve something great with Croatia, and when we did, all these emotions come down on us, and was not easy to recover. But now we are getting better. Season is start. We need to forget about it and concentrate on what is expecting us this season.
But Modric says he's steadily playing better and better on his way back to top form. He says all he needed was time to rest. His statement is in keeping with a new survey conducted by the International Players Association. The study found that of the 543 players who were surveyed, nearly half of those who play 50 or more games per season admitted to being stretched by their schedule. And 300 players said they needed 5 weeks off between seasons to fully recover. I'll have more sporty news tomorrow. Dan, back over to you.
Thank you, Gwen. And that wraps up the October 1st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, can Africa win the war on corruption? The African Union has declared 2018 the African Year of Anti-Corruption, charting a battle plan to win the fight against corruption on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two Face, Nato C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
This is a public service announcement from VOA Africa.
If you come into contact with the bodily fluids of a person infected with Ebola, you must wash with soap and water immediately. I'm Dr. Kande Greaves. The Ebola virus is only present in the blood, feces, vomit, breast milk, sweat, and semen of people who are seriously ill. The virus must get into your body to infect you. Do not touch your eyes, nose, or mouth, and cover any cuts on the skin. If you are caring for someone who has Ebola, do not handle bedding, towels, or clothes that may be soiled with bodily fluids without gloves. Avoid sexual activity with male survivors of Ebola. Men carry the virus in semen for up to 90 days. Ebola cannot survive for long outside the body. Sunlight, heat, Clorox, and alcohol will kill the virus. Know the facts about Ebola. Knowledge is life.
This was a public service announcement from VOA Africa. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
VOA News is always at the tip of your fingers.
All the news you want about Africa and the world, day and night, is available on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.
Make it your first source of news and information.